Blessed Christmas to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Are you ready for the big reveal? I know you all want to know what Pastor got you for Christmas this year, so I'm about to tell you the gift that you get this year is a maid. Yay, all right, clapping. Yay, you get a maid for Christmas. Now, if I had, I guess, unlimited funds, maybe I would buy you one of those robo-vacuums maids. They could go around your house and clean everything up pretty nice. And some of you don't like that. You'd say, that sucks, but it's a pun. Am I just right? All right, just kidding. That's not the kind of maid I'm talking about. The maid of Christmas. Now, if you lived in the 1950s or something, I suppose you might say the maid of Christmas is Mary, right? She serves God by bearing the son that was given to her. He's definitely a servant that we sing about and celebrate at Christmas. We heard a lot about last night. We heard about through the season and her visit to Elizabeth this past Sunday. You might think the maid of Christmas is Mary, but no. The maid of Christmas that I'm talking about is not Mary. Since this is 2018, maybe we could take a cue from the progressives and the feminists and say that the maid of Christmas is Joseph, right? About time. But, you know, consider that even back in the 1950s, there were male maidservants, those who served that way, valets, butlers, manservants, both genders could be maids, so to speak. Joseph, as a divine servant, serves God by serving Mary. Joseph finds the place for Mary to give birth to the child. And before that, he serves God by believing what the angel told him about the birth that is to come, and didn't divorce Mary. He served Mary, not divorcing her, even though she was pregnant and it wasn't by him. But the maid of Christmas is not Joseph. Some might ask, could the maid be the angels? They served the shepherds, as we heard. Those who were watching their flocks by night, the angels came and told them about the birth. They were kind of servants of God, ministers of the Father, proclaiming the truth of the birth of Jesus, that they were the servants, the maids, to the shepherds. But no, I'm not referring to the angels either. Even though they sung, and Martin Luther called music a handmaiden to the gospel, but no, I don't mean the angels as the maid of Christmas, not this year. It's also not the star above Bethlehem that served for the wise men as a GPS to guide them to the place where the Son of God lay. Nope, that's not the maid either, even though they found the wise one who was wiser than them. Finally, the maid is not the typical Sunday school answer, which is Jesus. That's not the maid either. Although Jesus did serve, even said in Matthew, he said, the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. But nope, the maid is not Jesus. So what is the maid? The maid I'm referring to is not a noun. It's a verb. In Greek, it's agenito, which means it came to pass. It's passive, and it means was made. So this maid is not spelled M-A-I-D, but rather M-A-D-E. Made, as in, we often say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The maid of Christmas this year is that work which God did, past tense, at creation. The work that he performed at creation of the world and how it relates to Jesus. As we heard in the gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were agenito, were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Hence the maid of Christmas. Let me read it to you in Greek. Panta di atu. All things were agenito, came to pass, and chorus, without him, autu, agenito ude ein, which means nothing, not even one thing, it says, came to be without him. Through the Word that was with God, everything has come to be, was made. We didn't make the world. Scientists like Archimedes, Galileo, Newton, Einstein were helpless in making the world. They can only observe it afterwards. Neither did the world come into being by itself. God made the world through the Word. God spoke. He said, let there be light, and there was light. And the Word, agenito, became flesh. Same word. Agenito. And tabernacled amongst us, dwelt amongst us. God and Jesus both have something to do with creation. Jesus, whom John calls the Word made flesh, the Word agenito, flesh, and the Maker, share that work of made, making all things. This is not something that the world can understand or comprehend or even test by instrumentation, nor can reason grasp it. But this is the message and John's conviction which he shared with us in John chapter 1, and it is the gospel for Christmas. This is the Word made flesh that you see in the manger. This is the Word by through and through whom all things were made. God made the world through his Son Jesus. Long ago, before he was a man, the second person of the Trinity, that eternally begotten person of God, through him all things were made. And he is one with the Maker, the Father. And they share the work of creation together. Martin Luther asked a question in a Christmas Day sermon a long time ago. His question didn't doubt God. I know a lot of the questions we ask of God, you know, kind of borderline on doubt, right? Our questions often pose something about God and threaten faith a little bit, how feeble we are at believing. Like, is God really there, we might ask? Does he really care about us? After all, we got so much evil and things going on. It seems like he takes his hand away too often. We wonder, and our questions almost doubt, is he really there? Why does he let this or that happen? Why does this pain come upon me? Why did I lose this? Why is this family member suffering? Why is there so much evil? But Luther, in this sermon, asked a question as a believing child of God. It was a simple, obvious kind of question that every parent likes. In response to the phrase, he was with God in the beginning, Luther asked, where else would he have been? For as of yet, Luther notes, there was no creation. In other words, of course he was with God. Where else would he be? He also was God. There would be no other place outside of God prior to creation. Those are the kind of questions that we should be asking of God's Word. Questions in which God's Word answers. Right you are for asking. You've got it. Well done, good and faithful servant. You believe and are righteous by faith. You live. You see, the gospel isn't for God to learn about where he was a long time ago, but to enlighten us and to correct our misunderstanding because of our sinful nature that wants to question and rebel God and push him out of our lives, wonder how things really were. Were any of us there when God laid the foundation of the world and stretched out its borders and made it all happen? So the true understanding of him is one in which he himself must reveal himself to us, and to prove it, even come into the world and show himself to be who he is. To show that he cares for us, he became like us. To show that he cares for us in all those evil situations of loss, of sin, of pain, of betrayal, he became like us. That word in which all things were created became flesh to answer that problem of evil that we all face and we all know. And that word that became flesh traveled where? Not just staying in the manger for his whole life for everybody to marvel at, but he moved on from there into Galilee, into the Jordan, and all the places where there were sick people, where there was dead people, where there was betrayal and friends of his that betrayed him, and journeyed to the cross, from manger, you might say, to the cross, two places of wood, to show how much he really does care for us, that he would ascend the cross, the seat of God's glory, that which God decided before the world was made that he would do for you. That his son would give his life as a ransom for many. This is how God serves you. That he died to take away your sin, your failures to please God, all the things that you've done to betray others, all the ways you failed to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what our God has done. And Christmas is just the beginning. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So the picture of the manger of a child in Mary's lap, and Joseph right beneath him, is a picture of a child of God, and so you are. You can see yourself in the Christmas story. By believing in him and his birth, you become that child of God, precious to his parents, precious in the sight of the shepherds, precious in the sight of the wise men who come and see him and bow down before him and bring him gifts. As we've prayed and sung throughout Advent, Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. We marvel that this little child in Bethlehem is the true light in which no darkness can overcome. Certainly not sin, as he wasn't born with any. Not devil, because the devil couldn't tempt him away, as we heard in the gospel. And not even death, for after dying on the tree, the light of the new dawn was that Jesus was alive. Fully in the flesh in which he was born in that manger, same flesh. That flesh rose back to life by the Spirit of God. And we saw it. And John saw it. And he calls it full of grace and truth. And later writes, "My Lord and my God," about Thomas the twin who saw him, put his fingers in that flesh that was born in the manger and said, "My Lord and my God." Through faith in the gospel of Jesus, we are God's children, born not of the will of the flesh, with all its darkness due to sin, nor to the will of man, for our will is darkened without the Holy Spirit, but born of God's will. His true light is for us. Christ is the true light that scatters the darkness of our ignorance and makes it possible for all flesh to see the salvation of God. God graciously invites us to come near to him, out of the dark, using his word as a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. At the first Christmas, a great light, though it was not the true light, shined above Bethlehem to point the wise men to the place where the true light was. Little did they know that that star was just a little witness to the light that was down below in the manger. And the glory of the Lord, it says, shone around him. So get out of the darkness this Christmas. Go to Bethlehem by your hearts and see this great light. See Christ Jesus. See the world's salvation, God's Son. And that was possible because that light, that true light, the Word in verse 14, became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. God the Son, the true light, took on frail human flesh and blood. He was made man In the beginning, he was begotten, not made. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son to be born, not to be made, to enter creation as a creature like us. Jesus Christ was made man at Christmas. That is the making of which we celebrate today. These are the maids that we believe. As you ponder the mystery, remember this God made man suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was buried. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, "For our sake God made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become," agenito, same verb, "the righteousness of God." And because of this, we sing peace with God once more is made. Through his making and dying work, all our sins are paid. My friends John and Gloria Schultz are here, Pastor Schultz at First Lutheran, and good friends. Back in 2009, you might recall, we had a friend from India. Her name was Radha. And Radha was baptized on Christmas Day in 2009. She was Hindu, and she had seen the website for Lutheran Campus Ministry and came over to First Lutheran and asked Pastor Busher all about Jesus, wanted to know more about Jesus. And on Christmas Day, 2009, Radha was baptized. And I'll never forget that. We got to see how all nations, someone from India who's in Knoxville of all places, her husband was studying at UT, comes and wants to know about who this light is that she read a little bit about in John's Gospel. And she got to hear it all from Pastor Busher and was brought to the waters of baptism right on Christmas Day of all days. And on that day, I got to preach, and I remember saying this: God saved Radha, and this is putting her name into the Titus passage that we heard last night, not because of works done by Radha in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, because of the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on Radha richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, Radha with us becomes an heir according to the hope of eternal life. That's the best kind of Christmas gift there is. Eternal life. Making it to heaven. In theology, the Roman Catholic Church likes to focus on being made righteous. And in the Lutheran Church, we like to focus on being declared righteous. Forensic justification means God declared it. He's not making us righteous through our own works and satisfactions of the law, but through Jesus, we have, who has been made man for us, we've been declared righteous by faith, by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ. That was what the Lutheran Reformation was all about. So today, I just want to say this. Because God made Jesus, the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became man, agenito, for you, you have become the righteousness of God. Not by works, but by that making of Christmas. And him making it for you on the cross. And making this place called heaven, which you did not make. But he makes for you and invites you to it through Christ, the Son. For Radha, for all the baptized, believe it. And it's yours through the making of Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.